listening to Enduring Words for Troubled Times, a daily devotional brought to you by Pastor David Guzik for Enduring Word.
Today we're going to talk about that glorious passage in the Old Testament that speaks of Jesus the Messiah, and that speaks to his motive for going to the cross. Reading today from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7, 8, and 9, where we read, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth." Isaiah 53 is one of the most remarkable chapters in the Bible. And part of what it makes it remarkable are the amazing prophecies regarding the death of the Messiah to come, Jesus Christ. Here, the prophet Isaiah spoke about the suffering that would come upon the Messiah, God's chosen servant. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Despite the pain and the suffering of the Messiah, he never opened his mouth to defend himself. He was silent before his accusers, never speaking to defend himself, only to glorify God. Then Isaiah painted a picture of what the Messiah endured. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Basically, the prophet repeated the previous point that the Messiah would suffer without speaking to defend himself. When Isaiah used the phrase, "he was led as a lamb to the slaughter," we should not take this as indicating that Jesus was a helpless victim of circumstances and was helpless as a lamb, therefore. Quite the contrary. Even in his suffering and death, Jesus was in control. And Jesus said about his life, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." That's in John chapter 10, verse 18. Therefore, Isaiah's point with the idea of a sheep is that Jesus was silent, not helpless. Isaiah continues, "He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation?" This not only refers to the confinement of the Messiah before his crucifixion, but it also speaks of the fact that the Messiah died childless. There was no one to declare his generation. Sorry, Da Vinci Code, you've got that one completely wrong. Now, the description becomes stronger and stronger. Isaiah wrote, "For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken." This is the first indication in this passage that the suffering servant of the Lord, the Messiah himself, would die. Up to this point, we might have thought that he would only have been severely beaten, but there's no mistaking the point. He is to be cut off from the land of the living. We can say that the idea of cut off suggests not only the idea of a violent and premature death, but also that the death was the result of the just judgment of God. In ancient Israel, severe lawbreakers were the ones cut off. Now this, among many aspects of this prophecy, demonstrates again that Isaiah cannot be speaking of Israel as the suffering servant. As badly as the Jewish people have suffered through the centuries, Israel has never been cut off from the land of the living. She's always endured, even as God promised Abraham. So looking to the Messiah to come, Isaiah brought the point home again and again. The servant of the Lord, the Messiah, suffers, but not for himself, but for the transgression of my people. Isaiah told us not only how the Messiah died, but how he was buried. He read, "And they made his grave with the wicked." Jesus died in the company of the wicked. And it was the intention of those supervising his execution to cast him into a common grave with the wicked. But going further, we read, "But with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth." Despite the intention of others to make his grave with the wicked, God allowed the Messiah to be with the rich at his death, buried in the tomb of the wealthy man named Joseph of Arimathea. And the line, "because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth," is important. It shows that even in his death, even in his taking the transgression of God's people, the Messiah never sinned. He remained the Holy One. Despite all the pain and suffering, as a recognition of that, he was buried with the rich at his death and would indeed be resurrected. In it all, we remember, Jesus was not helpless. We might say that the debt of nature, among other things, demands that we all die. If I were to lay down my life for another, it would only be a payment of that debt a little sooner than many would expect, because we all must die sooner or later. Yet the difference with Jesus is that he didn't need to die at all. There was no cause in Jesus why he would die at all. Therefore, he had to yield up his life as a willing sacrifice for our sins. He died for us because he wanted to, and because he loves you. That's why he wanted to. That's worth both thinking about and receiving, that great love of Jesus as demonstrated by his sacrifice on the cross, and receiving it today.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Pastor David Guzik and his ministry, please visit enduringword.com.